Luke 3:15 through 22 says, "As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, 'I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.' So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod the ruler, who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them all by shutting up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. In this job, you have to be continually on your toes because you never know when you're going to be asked one of those difficult theological or biblical questions. That could be true of any of us in this room, but when you're a pastor, you know what's coming, you just don't always know when. Some of those deep mysteries of the Christian faith or of the Bible that are not always easy to understand for someone who may not be familiar to the Bible or even to seasoned Christians. Some of those questions might include something like, "Jeremy, why would God allow the University of Louisville to beat North Carolina so badly?" And to that I would say, Ron or Bill or whomever, it's not that God cares more about one team than the other, or that God causes one team to lose and one team to win. It's just simply that Louisville is a better and far superior team. We're in my red and black today. I know that's going to come back to haunt me later on. What am I to do with the creation account in Genesis 1 when placed against the creation account in Genesis 2? What's the unforgivable sin? Or is there an unforgivable sin? Did I commit that sin? Am I in danger of committing a sin like that? Pastor, can you make the Trinity easy for me to understand? Pastor, what's the end times going to look like? Are we there? Can we know? Those are all difficult questions, yeah, even for me or for any pastor who's studied these things numerous times. Those are difficult to sometimes explain, not just to explain, but sometimes to even understand. And finally, one of the questions that comes up frequently, I think, is, Pastor, why did Jesus have to be baptized? Why was Jesus baptized? He seems like the last candidate for baptism. He appears to be the one person who doesn't need to be baptized at all. Of anyone, Jesus is the one who should not be baptized. You see, baptism for us in the Baptist faith is about profession of faith in Jesus Christ. It's a symbolism of the forgiveness of our sins as we go into the water. It is symbolic that we are being washed clean, that our sins are being washed away because of Jesus' death on the cross. And equally important, when we enter the baptismal waters, we are symbolizing and showing and being a witness to the covenant we are making with Christ and his church to serve faithfully in this body and across the world in the universal church. So why would Jesus need to be baptized? Jesus didn't need any of that. Jesus didn't need to profess faith in himself. Jesus did not need to be forgiven of sin. And Jesus was not joining a church. The most common answer that we tend to give is that, well, Jesus' baptism was different. There was something different about Jesus stepping into the water and being baptized by John the Baptizer than those other people that were on the scene or other than us. And to a degree, that is very true. I would love to have Jesus and John the Baptizer here to think, to tell us, what all did you have in mind during this baptism? But there may be more similarity in Jesus' baptism and in our baptism than we tend to give it credit for. And more similarity than simply being immersed in water. We are currently in a series called Light to the Nations, where we are celebrating and talking about and reflecting on the truth of Christ going forth from Israel to all nations, to all corners of the earth. The truth of Christ would be made and revealed to the world, not just to a localized, specific group of people, but to everyone. And Jesus' baptism ties directly into that. And acknowledging the truth that Jesus' baptism is about taking the light of Christ to the nations, so we must also remember that our baptism means the same. We join with Jesus in baptism. It is not that there is Jesus' baptism and our baptism. We have been baptized with Christ. As we open up the Bible, we see people who are being baptized by John the Baptizer anticipating something big, wondering what's going on, seeing this figure named John speak of the truths of the kingdom of God, calling people to repentance, taking part in this unique, strange act known as baptism. And so they're saying, this guy must be the one. We've never seen anything like this. John the Baptizer must be the Messiah. And John, in spectacular fashion, says, oh, no, 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 no. No, I'm baptizing you with water, but the one who is coming that I am foretelling about or telling you about, I'm not even worthy to untie his dirty, nasty sandals. He will baptize you with the Spirit, by fire and spirit. John the Baptist separates himself from Jesus, something he took very seriously. John made it a point to make it clear to his disciples and to those around him that he was not Jesus, not even close. Well, Jesus does enter the scene and is baptized, and in that moment, the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, and the Father says, you are my Son, with whom I am well pleased, and I love you. Really a beautiful image of baptism. And yet we still think there are two baptisms going on. The baptism of Jesus and the baptism of the people. We think they mean separate things. When Jesus enters the scene, there's a whole other kind of baptism. And yes, when the people enter the water and are talking about repentance and the forgiveness of sins, yes, there is something different there. But I believe that our baptisms are more in line than we give them credit for, and there are a few reasons for that that we will look at today. First of all, Jesus' baptism was about accepting a mission. Our baptism is about accepting a mission. Our baptism, when we enter the baptismal waters, is about professing our faith in Jesus Christ, and yet, like Christ, our baptism is about entering this new realm of mission. We have a new purpose. We are called to a new purpose in Christ. Jesus was also sent to earth on a mission, and so our baptism is not all that different in that degree. Jesus comes to earth for several reasons, all of which we can't talk about today, but Jesus talks about how the Spirit of the Lord is on him, as we see in this passage. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. A mission, if we've ever heard one. It is our mission as well. to proclaim freedom in Christ, to proclaim freedom from prison in Christ, recovery of sight for the blind in Christ, freedom in Christ. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And Jesus also says in the Gospels, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus was on mission. And we join with Jesus in that very same mission at the time of our baptism. You see, baptism is the beginning of our mission to carry Christ's light to the world. And I fear that we forget that reality too often. Anytime we witness a baptism, or even when we take part in our own baptism, I wonder if we have talked about that enough, that we are entering a serious, life-changing, world-changing mission. So much of our baptism revolves around, are we believing the right things? Did we say the right prayer to accept Jesus into our hearts? And we don't talk enough to our children or adults about the mission that we are set loose on at the time of baptism. Today would be the right time to be reminded of that. Like Jesus, are you on mission? Are you constantly carrying the good news and the light of Christ to the world, or are you simply safe and do you find rest in believing the right things? Do you find rest and comfort in simply believing that up here, you've got it? Baptism is about belief, but it is just as importantly about mission. Baptism is also about repentance and then entering the world of sin. And that is what Jesus also did. Now, this is where I might have just lost some of you. You might say, no, Jesus did not enter the world of sin. I would say he did by simply coming to be with us. No, Jesus did not sin, but Jesus entered the realm of sin that we call this fallen place that is the world. Jesus walked this earth with us and therefore suffered the consequence of sin as we do in this room. And so when Jesus came out of those baptismal waters, Jesus was on mission and Jesus was preparing to go forth into the realm of sin. In fact, we know that to be true. In fact, if you flip the page to the next chapter, where does Jesus go after his baptism? He goes to the wilderness, where he is tempted by the devil. That may sound a lot like your life. It may sound like my life. That after our baptism, we go forth into this world facing all kinds of temptations to throw this faith aside. Facing all kinds of temptations to say, you know, maybe this faith in Christ just wasn't for me after all. So I would suggest to you that once again, Jesus' baptism is a whole lot more like ours than we give it credit for. Once again, Jesus does not sin. Jesus was not baptized to symbolize that he was being washed clean of sin. But once again, when Jesus enters the baptismal waters, it is a reminder that Jesus suffers the fate of sin in the same sense that we do. Jesus faces temptation. Jesus has anxiety. Jesus has fear. Jesus has uncertainty. Jesus suffers with us, and Jesus suffers death. Jesus enters the realm of sin without sinning, and it is the same way with us. We often don't talk about, once again, when we come up out of the baptismal water, that we are facing a whole new kind of life. That when we claim and witness in the baptismal pool that we are washed clean of our sin, then that had mean we had better not enter into sin. Now, we are constantly growing closer to Christ. We are not perfect. But when we exit the baptismal waters, we are entering the realm of sin as a new person. One who claims we are not going to be receptive to the temptation of sin, but will instead seek to bring the light of Christ to overcome that sin in our lives and in the world. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, something I want us to carry out today is that baptism is a testimony to God's claim on our lives. God says, "You are my son with whom I am well pleased." We don't emphasize that enough. We don't remind ourselves of that enough, that we are claimed by God, that God loves us and God is pleased with us. Remember that today, that you are God's child. God loves you and God is pleased with you. Maybe you're thinking, well, not this past week. God certainly wasn't pleased with me last week. Or you might say, I remember that season in my life a few years ago. I know God didn't love me then. Remember, when we are baptized, we haven't earned baptism. We're baptized because Jesus loves us and we are accepting that free gift of grace. Don't forget that God has laid claim on you as a baptized child. And God says, "In you I am pleased." Doesn't mean that we can't grow. Doesn't mean that there aren't times where God challenges us to grow or overcome sin. But God is like a parent, as we talked about in a series last year. God loves you, and God has claimed you, and that mark is forever on you. And don't you forget it. As a parent, I know I need to say to my kids a whole lot more, I'm proud of you. I am so pleased with you. You see, we say that a lot when our girls, for instance, eat a good meal. I'm proud of you. Or if they pick up their rooms, I'm so proud of you. Or if we get a good report from school, hey, good job, Maggie. Good job, Macy. But I know I need to remember to say that just because they're my own and I love them. I would encourage you to go from here remembering that God doesn't simply say, I love you if you've got it right. God doesn't simply say, I love you or I am pleased with you if you've had a good day, or if you feel that you've treated everybody well, if you feel like you've loved your neighbor particularly well that day. That's not the only time God says, I love you. Think of it as daily encouragement from God that began with your baptism. You are my child, and you I am well pleased. You are baptized, and like Christ, that means something. It means you are set apart. Let's go with that truth today. Let's remember that God loves us, and we are marked to take this good news of Christ to the world in love.